On the top of Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we were discussing the case of a boat and carrying something from the boat into the water or back into the boat. We spoke about carrying something from one boat to another boat, and we said that the sea has the status of a caramelis, and for that reason it was problematic to throw something from the sea onto the boat, which the boat is presumably a Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, because we don't allow taking something from a caramelis into Rishus HaYachid or the other way around. Caramelis midrabbanan is like a Rishus HaRabim. We studied yesterday a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda about the possibility in figuring out how to get water and draw it from the sea into the boat, of either, as Rav Huna would have it, motzi amenu ziz, that's all you need is ziz kol shehu, because Rav Huna, if you recall, was of the opinion that the surface of a caramelis is a makom ptur, it is above 10 tfachim from the karka of the yam, and technically, according to Rav Huna, there should be no need for any sort of ziz, but because of a heker, because it looks like a caramelis, they require the ziz. Rav Chisda, on the other hand, was of the opinion that the water itself brings the karka all the way up to the top of the water, so that the ground, so to speak, the expanded ground of the yam is the surface on the top of the water, and therefore he's going to need, in order to draw the water from the ocean up into the boat, he's going to need to create a Rishus HaYachid. And how does he create Rishus HaYachid? And the way we explained it yesterday, it was through the mechanism called a machitza tluya, a machitza which doesn't go all the way down, but it's sort of suspended in midair. And that was the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda of yesterday. We asked if there were areas, you know, in the front of the boat that maybe were Vahamursha Islay, right, that part of the boat is situated in such that you don't have, just one second, okay, that was Mursha, so let's take a look, just to get started for today, at the last line on Kuf Amud Beis, and the Gemara quotes a brisa of Sfina, Ein mitaltel in lo mitocha liyam, velo minayam litocha. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer on the top of Kuf Aleph, Amuka asara, v'ein gvoa asara. So let's say the Sfina on the inside is 10 tfachim deep, but on the outside, it doesn't have above the water, right? The water we're saying is the, let's say, according to this opinion, is the surface of the caramelis. So from the top of the water up until the top of the boat is less than asar tfachim. So again, as far as the airspace inside the boat, we have the height of asar tfachim, because the boat is 10 tfachim deep from the inside, so that makes it into a Rishus HaYachid. But if you take a look at the outside of the boat, which he calls the Chelek HaChitzon Shel HaSfina, which rises above the surface of the water, there he doesn't have the height of Asar Tfachim, because, like we said, the boat is, to some extent, because of its weight, is submerged into the water, is in such a case, Metaltalim Mitochal Hayam, this is a, you know, like we have streets that are one-way streets, and we have two-way streets. So Rabbi Yehuda sets up a one-way street. He's allowing you to take something from a boat and throw it into the water, but not the reverse. Avalo minayam litocha. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, maishna, what's the difference? You've got to be consistent. If you're telling me that minayam litocha, Rabbi Yehuda would not allow you to take something from the yam and throw it into the boat. And the reason for that, let's say, you know, he's catching a fish, right? He's not allowed to do that because the boat on the inside is Rishus HaYochid, and the sea is a Carmelis, is, let's go the other way around. Let's say he wants to throw a fish back into the water, right? Mitocha liyam, nami, kometaltalim Rishus HaYochid leKarmelis. So how do we make any sense out of Rabbi Yehuda's distinction in which he permits mitochol yam el olav, but it must be achuda? Okay, now achuda means that we're talking, Rabbi Yehuda is matir tilta from the sfina liyam when he, instead of throwing something from the boat into the water, he pours. Let's say. Remember, we discussed shvachim. I think, correct. Let's say he has wastewater, so he wants to get rid of his wastewater. I'm just giving an example. So what he's allowed to do, says Rabbi Yehuda, is achuda. In other words, he can tip over the water on the side of the, you know, the flank of the boat, and it drips down into the sea. And that's called kocho. In other words, he's not directly throwing an object into a karmelis. In a sense, he's using the gravitational pull downwards of water that's dripping on the side of his ship. And that's called kocho. That's not a direct action. And that is mutter in a karmelis. So the Gemara says, Shmamino, we could derive from this, kocho b'karmelis lo gazru. Shmamina, that when the Rabbanan enacted the Gzera of Carmelis, that's only if you throw something directly into the Carmelis. But if you put something in a situation where gravity is going to pull it down to the Carmelis, so you just put in the initial input, and the rest is because gravity is going to roll it down aside, that's called kocho. That's not his direct action. And when there are, again, in on a Doraisa level, there's no difference between the two. You're chayav even for kocho. I mean, there's a whole sugya in Makis that we once learned together back in the yeshiva about koach kocho. You know, where he throws something up and something gets hit and comes down. That's a whole other story. That's grama. That's not even kocho. But kocho in Kol Tarkula is considered as action. But the Rabbanan made that limitation, that leniency, relaxing the law of Iser Karmelis in a case of kocho. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Now, if you're in the ocean, you know, or the fish, and you're drawing it up to the boat, then this whole discussion, Rabbi Yehuda, is completely irrelevant. Because then you're going to have kocho. I mean, then you're going to have maisov in order to get something from the Karmelis, from the yam into the boat, into the Rishus HaYochid. So that for sure is also. But if you want to find a way of getting something like the Shofchin out of your boat into the sea, that you can do through something called kocho. Because when the Rabbanim made the Gzerah of Carmelis, they did not include kocho. And what is kocho? Kocho means when he doesn't throw it directly into the Carmelis, but he puts it in a position where it will go down into a Carmelis. Okay, So that's more or less what we discussed yesterday. Okay, now we're going to talk about something called Yitzi Asa. I would, if I needed an English translation of Yitzi Asa, I would call it a canoe, meaning a very small boat. Amar Rav Huna, Hani Bitzi Asa de Meshan. Okay, so the name of the place is called Meshan, but that's not for us. We're interested in Yitzi Asa. These are the small boats. Now, what we have to understand about these small boats is that they were much wider on top and they got narrow on the bottom. And I think that's true for almost any boat, but certainly in the case of a canoe, you can imagine how it gets narrow on the bottom. Now, on the bottom, it becomes sharp like a knife. And although, let's say, the walls of the boat are 10 tefachim high, but nevertheless, we don't have a rochav, a width of 4 tefachim, because this little boat comes to a sharp angle on the bottom. So again, what we have is a gova, a height of asara, but do we have a rochav of arba on the bottom? And if we don't, then it's not a rishus hayachid, which means that within this small boat, okay, maybe it's a little bit larger than a canoe, but I'm going to have a problem. Because if I want to carry something from one side of the boat to the other, I'm not in a Rishus HaYachid. I'm in a Karmelis. And if that be the case, how do I... why is it not a Makom Patur? So let's read again the Gemara inside. Ein Metaltel Ben Ela Betoch Arba Amos. You're right, like any Karmelis, you're not allowed to carry... in a Karmelis, more than or equal to 4 Amos, only less than Arba Amos. And the answer is that according to Rav Huna, these small boats are considered a Karmelis. Again, one thing is clear. The boat does not have the status of Rishus HaYochid because on the bottom it is less than 4 Tfachim wide. Okay. Now, why is this called a Karmelis? So I'm going to read to you a summary of Rashi, and he says the following. Ein lahen, meaning to these boats, din rishus hayochid, v'nechshavos ke Karmelis, hoil v'achilik atachton shel amechitzos, eino nechshav l'mechitza, shematira betiltel. So it means anytime you have the height of 10 tefachim, then what you need is, in order to carry within that area that is surrounded by 10 tefachim of height, what you need is mechitzos. If those 10 tefachim surrounding your area are mechitzos, then you can carry within that area and that's no problem. However, we have a problem with this mechitza. Why? Because it never reaches the bottom. In order to reach the bottom, it's got to reach an area that's 4 tefachim wide. So up on top, when the boat expands going higher up, you have 4 tefachim. So you do have mechitzos on the top, but when you get down to the last of the 10 tefachim, or to that area at the bottom, at that point, you don't have an area 4 tefachim wide. So he writes, Hoil v'achilik atachton shel amechitzos. In other words, once we get down to an area that's less than 4 tefachim as we go down these mechitzos, therefore, you have only what we call a suspended mechitza, meaning the mechitza above that area for tefachim is a valid machitza, but it's not standing on anything. Why? Because when you go down to the lower area, which is less than four tefachim wide, it's no longer a machitza. The ena nechsheves the machitza la tira betiltil. Okay, now why isn't the bottom part of the machitza, right, the sides of the boat, considered a machitza? Because a machitza has to surround a makom choshev. It's not enough that the machitza is 10 tefachim high. It's got to be makiv. It has to surround or encompass, enclose, I think would be a better word, enclose a makom choshev. So that the top part of these machitzos are basically totally biavir. And the reason for that is because there's nothing on the bottom that could be called a machitza because it's not makif an area of four tfachim. Is machitza hatluya eina machitza lahatir betiltel. So again, a makom tur would be something that's less than nine, that, let's say it's nine tfachim, it's not ten tfachim. So because of its low height, it's a makom tur. But here we have something that's above 10 tefachim. So you can't consider it a makom ptur. On the other hand, can you consider it shus hayachid? You can't consider it shus hayachid because it's a mechitza tluya. Because although the top part of the mechitza is valid, but when we get to the bottom part of the mechitza, it's invalid. It's not a makif of a makom chosh because you don't have arba tefachim. Now, he has here, just 1 second. Where did I have this here? Oh, he says that Tosvis, Divra Maskil Hani, which is I think the third Tos on a page, has a Gemara on Daf Zion. And the Gemara on Daf Zion says that the Rabbanon created a status to a makom, a status of karmelis, only if that makom has chashivus. And Tosus understands that what that means is that you can only have a karmelis if you have an area that's wide enough. The minimum width is arba tefachim. So now, what is going on over here now, sugya? We're saying that he's not allowed to carry four amos inside this boat. Why? Because the boat doesn't have mechitzos, and therefore it becomes a karmelis. Well, what about the requirements of karmelis? Tosa says, based on Daf Zion, that the requirement of a karmelis is that it has to be a reshus, sheyesh ba arba tefachim. If it's not a reshus of arba tefachim, then all it could be is if it's got mechitzos of 10 tefachim. So what is it? So that if the underlying premise of Rav Huna is that within the boat we have a karmelis because we don't have mechitzos amakifos, well, the reason why you don't have mechitzos amakifos is because you don't have four tefachim. Well, if you don't have four tefachim, then it's not a karmelis. So therefore, Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, and he says the following. This boat, small boat, asuyos lahalech be'agamim. He says that the semantics of the word yitzi'asa, is bit'e. And I'm not sure exactly how you get from bit'e to yitzi'asa. I mean, there is some, there's a bays there and there's a tzadi there, but that's about all you have there. Anyway, so there's something called bitzei mayim. Bitzei mayim are otherwise known as like swamp areas or agamim. Usfinos elu, binuyos, biofen sheyeshlem defanos shlemos, vekarkoison asuya nisarim. So that the floor of the boat is made of planks. V'yesh revach bein hanisorim shebekarka ison. Now this is pretty wild, because usually if you have a revach in the planks of the floor, the water is going to come up into the boat. And he says the following: Hamayim nichnasim l'sham. Water comes in there, so he's got like planks that, let's say, like weaving, you know, go both shasi and arev, you know, it's a crisscross. Hayoshvim b'sochan, those who sit inside the boat, yoshvim b'mayim, they're actually sitting in water. Ve'heim b'nuyos b'yofen kazeh, shafilu im yishafchu, lo yitbu liolam. If I understand correctly, saying that the boat itself is like a floating, what we call a safety device, meaning it's like a buoy, so that even if the water enters into the boat and turns the boat upside down, they're able to hold on to the boat. The kevan shetachtia and prutza, since the bottom of the boat is completely open and the water is coming in, I guess that's how they fish, is dinam kekarmelis. V'ein metaltu bohem el bepochos mi arba amos. I guess what he's saying is, if I read this correctly in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, is that the boat is really in the sea. It doesn't, right, it's in the water. It doesn't form an area separate from the water. So if the water itself is a karmelis, then the boat is a karmelis. I no longer need that requirement of a rochav of arba tfachim, because that now becomes irrelevant. So again, just to reiterate, karkis hasfina asuya nisorim nisorim, yesh revach beina nisorim shebekarka, hamayim nichnosim l'sham, hayoshvim v'socham yoshvim v'mayim, Vein benuyos be ofen kazesh afilum yishapech lo yitbu liolam, lo yitbu, they won't sink, they won't drown. Ve kevan shetachteim prutzal amayim, dinam kekarmelis. Ve metaltum hem ela bepochos me arba amos. Now, we're going to have to add another point, and that is that the space between each one of these planks on the floor of this boat is at least 3 tfachim. Because if the space between each one of the planks is less than 3 tfachim, then we apply the principle of lavud, and you no longer have a din of a karmelis, because now you have a flat surface, a complete total separation between the boat, the floor of the boat, and the water below it. Okay, I mean, I'm not saying we have this all down pat, but just to get the general approach here, we have a difficult Rashi, which Tosis rejects, and Rashi says that the top part of the Sfina maybe has the width of 4 tfachim, but as you go down, you get a lower area, and the Chachamim say that that's considered a mechitza tluya, and it has somehow magically the din of a karmelis, even though it doesn't have the width of 4 tfachim. Tosis invokes a sugya back in the first parak that karmelis only applies if you have a width of 4 tfachim. And therefore, Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Chananel with this new interpretation of Yitzia Asa. Now, I'm not sure, maybe you could fill me in on this, why would this boat, this Yitzia Asa, the way Rabbeinu Chananel describes it, is functional in an agam? Is that because it's shallow water? Is that because there's more fish over there? I don't know exactly. Maybe it's less dangerous in the agamim. I'm not exactly sure what he means by that. But he says the very name comes from the word agav. Now, he adds one last comment here. And he says, Kosav HaChazon Ish, Shenechluku Tosfis Al Rashi, Uledaitam, Defanos Hasfino Enom Nechshovos Lemechitzos Tluyos. That the Yesod of Rashi Shita here is that because the boat gets very narrow on the bottom and is less than a width of four tefachim, the mechitza itself is only a mechitza on top but not on the bottom, and that makes it into a mechitza tluya. And Tosfos says the Chazon Ish disagrees, and he thinks that this is not a mechitza tluya. Okay, we'll just keep that. I mean, there's a long piece here, the name of the Chazon Ish, but so now Rav Huna adds the following comment. Lo amoron el k'she'ein b'pochos mishlosha. In other words, when we talk about the width on the bottom of the Sfina, let's go back to Rashi's pshat, so it's less than four tfachim. Says Rav Huna, qualifying this, that's only kishe'ein bepochos mishlosha rochav arba tfachim. Aval yesh bepochos mishlosha arba leslan ba. In other words, Rav Huna is asking, as we go down towards the bottom, the spitz part of the boat, at what moment do we lose the arba tfachim? How close to the bottom of the boat do we get to the narrow, this minus four tefachim width? And he says the following, that if he has four tefachim, let me say it the other way around. We're now at the bottom of the boat, okay? And we're climbing up. If we get to, let's say, 2.9 tefachim, and we already hit the wider part of the boat, I mean, it's not the widest part of the boat, but it's at least 4 tefachim wide, so then we have a reshus hayachid. Why? Because up to 3 tefachim, we apply the principle of lavud. And if we apply the principle of lavud, it's if that entire area is completely closed. Enclosed. So then, we already have a rochav of arba tfachim, such that the mechitzos are no longer mechitzos tluyos. The problem is going to be, says Rav Huna, in the case where we climb up to 3 tfachim from the bottom, and we still don't have a width of 4 tfachim. So let's read it again. Lo amoron. When do we have a problem? El k'she'ein b'pachos mishloshas. We've already got to the bingo mark of shlosha tfachim from the karka of the Svina, and we don't have arba tfachim between the two flanks of the boat. So once we have, right? So at what point, and this is the problematic case where you're not allowed to carry, at what point do we finally broaden the width of the boat for tefachim? That's lamala mishlosha tefachim. In other words, going up from the bottom of the boat, you've already climbed above 3 tefachim. Aval, but I don't have a problem, he says, in the case where yesh bepachos mishlosha arba, if we already hit the width of 4 tefachim, and we're still below the height of 3 tefachim, then we don't have any problem of tiltal inside this boat, because we can apply the principle of lavud up to 3 tefachim. Anything less than 3 tefachim from the karka is called lavud. And then we're going to consider as if the bottom of the boat goes all the way up to that point where it's wide enough and it's 4 tefachim wide, which is again below 3 tefachim. so that the lavud fills in the gap, so to speak, between the bottom of the boat and that point, which is not, you know, 2.9 tefachim high, and he already reached the point of bingo where he has 4 tefachim. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we discussed something very similar in the case of kippah. You remember the case of kippah, when we were talking about a mezuzah, whether it's a Pesach for a mezuzah, and we spoke about at what point does it get wide for tefachim. And again, what we're seeing here in this whole sugya is that 4 tefachim always is considered a makom chashuv. Like, for example, Tosfos quotes the sugya of Carmel, it has to have a width of 4 tefachim. Or, for example, we have a width of 4 tefachim here in establishing a Rishus HaYachid. A Rishus HaYachid has to have a width of 4 tefachim. We can talk about a width of tefachim as a mavui, right? You want to be mesakin a mavui with a lechi and a korah, it's got to have the width of 4 tefachim. We also have 4 tefachim in pas. Pas means when you have a standing mechitza that has a width of 4 tefachim, so that could be matir, a pesach of a mavui, even if the pesach is more than 10 amos, and so forth and so on. So that 4 tefachim is considered a significant area. We'll have it also in sukkah as well, in Masechta Sukkah, when you have a width of 4 tefachim, and you have 10 tefachim height in the defanos, starting from the bottom of these 4 tefachim, an area that's wide 4 tefachim. So here we have 4 tefachim of width below the height of 3 tefachim, meaning at 2.9 tefachim, we already have a width of 4 tefachim that separate one dofen of the sukkah from another dofen of the sukkah. So now we could say that these defanos of the sukkah serve as mechitzos that surround a makom chashuv of 4 tefachim. These are not mechitzos tluyos, because it's considered that the area inside the sfina is rishus hayachid. You're allowed to be metaltel even more than 4 tefachim inside the boat. And now Rav Huna gives another way of being matir tiltel 4 amos in the boat, even though you have a width that's less than 4 tefachim. And that is imalinu kanivi urvene. What he has to do is he has to fill up the area on the bottom of the boat. What does he put there? He puts in the skinny area, the thin area on the bottom of the boat, kanim, different kinds of poles or reeds, or urvene. Urvene are arvos, and he fills up that makom between the two defanos with all these material structures, and he finally gets, after he fills this all up, to a rochav of 4 tefachim, less than, but now we have no problem of tiltel dalet amos inside the boat, because these kanim and arevos will now again raise up the bottom of the boat as if the karkois asfina goes all the way up until you have empty space, until you've already passed all the kanim and the arevos, and now you've gotten to a point in the height of the boat where you have already 4 tefachim of width, and therefore it's no longer mechitzos tluyos, and it's a rishus hayoch. And once again, you know, I've said it a million and one times, this concept of besa kaman demalya dami. You know, when you fill in a space, you literally raise the karka, you raise the bottom because you fill in the space. And sometimes you can fill in the entire space as if the entire 10 tefachim are kemalya dami. Okay. Maskif lo Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman has an objection to Rav Huna. He says, V'lema gud achis mechitzta. I don't get it. You're worried about the bottom of the boat that's less than 4 tefachim wide. Well, let's talk about that point where, going up from the bottom of the boat, you finally reach the height where it is 4 tefachim. At that point, you have a mechitza. Now, you're worried about the point lower where there's no four tefachim. We have a principle called God Achis Mechitza. That once you have a 10 tefachim partition, you imagine as if it went all the way down. That's called God Achis Mechitza. And he's going to prove it to you from a brisa that there is such a principle called God Achis Mechitza. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that on the bottom of this mechitza, there's no mechitza because it's not makif an area of four tefachim. Who cares? As long as I have a mechitza above, which has a is makif an area of four tefachim, I can take the mechitza all the way down. Imagine that was open space. Even if it would have been open space, I could take the mechitza all the way down and apply the principle of God, Achis Mechitza, which gives me an imaginary mechitza. So it's almost like a Kal V'chomer. Madoch, if you had airspace and you have nothing there, I can still apply the din of mechitza and extend the mechitza downwards. How much more so in a case where you do have the mechitza, the Dofnei Ha-Sfida go all the way down, nor Vos Al-Pidin, the bottom part can't be considered a mechitza. So what? It's certainly not worse than empty space. Milo Sanya, don't we have a brisa? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo, Mer Noatz, Kana Birshus Harabim. So he's got a pole, and he sticks it into Rishus Harabim, and it goes up 10 tefachim. And Berosho Traskal. So he puts up a basket on the top of this pole. The basket is 4 tefachim wide. And Hazorek, okay, I'm going to add a few words. Hazorek Mirshus HaRabim, V'noch Al Gabov, it goes into the basket. I guess he's practicing his basketball shot. Chaya. Wait a minute, Chaya. You've got a basket. The basket doesn't have walls that are 10 tefachim high. It's true that the pole on which the basket sits or stands is 10 tefachim high. But he's saying Yechayev, which means that it's a Rishus HaYochid Gemura. How do you get a Rishus HaYochid Gemura? Where are the mechitzas? I look for the mechitzas, I don't see them. I see a basket. The answer is, God Achis Mechitza. That since there are walls to this basket, and the basket itself is 4 tefachim square wide, is therefore chayav, the zorik mirshus harabim that lands onto the traskal, is chayav. Rabosai, do you get the picture here? I mean, this is like, when you think about it, we're talking about a chiyuv chatos. We're talking about amazing, he would be Chayv Skila. What did he do? I'm just going to stand up for a moment. He's got a pole that goes up 10 tefachim, right? Big deal, right? It's up to his waist. And he puts a basket that is this wide, 4 tefachim wide, on top of the pole. He's standing in Rishus HaRabim, picks up an object from the floor, and puts it into the basket. For that, he's Chayv Skila. So anyway, I was just dramatizing that. So he says, Alma Amrinan, go to Achis Mechitza. Right, that we view the size of the traskal as mechitzos that go all the way down to the bottom, and they are now magically mechitzos of 10 tefachim height. And here in the beer he says, Roim ki'ilu ha mechitzos shal traskal yordos ada karka. Umakifos es kol gova kone. So anything that's within the kone is completely surrounded by imaginary mechitzos. The kevon sheberosh hatraskel yesh rochav arba tefachim nimtza sheyesh mechitzos begova asar tefachim amakifos makom shu rochav hu rachav arba tefachim square, right? And therefore he's chayev for throwing it into a rishus hayochid. So the Gemara now, in the name of Rav Nachman, finishes up the Kasha. Hachanami Neima here too, in the case of this boat, that you had Asar Tfachim with the Rochav Arba up until a certain, right, I should say down until a certain level, and below that you didn't have Mechitzos because there was no Arba Tfachim, is Godachis Mechitzta, and therefore the boat should be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Now, we're going to see that Rav Yosef is going to reject the objection of Rav Nachman, and Abaye is going to reject the objection of Rav Yosef, and he's going to resurrect the kasha of Rav Nachman. So, Chad Gadya. Maskif la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef attacks Rav Nachman. V'lo shmi'olei ha. Did you not hear the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav? Umatibe, according to a different version, it was Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Chia. And what they did was they brought a brisa. And this brisa that they brought was a comment on Rabbi Yossi. Right? It was Rabbi Yossi that Rav Nachman quoted earlier in a brisa, who said that if you throw something from Rishus HaRabim and it lands into the Traskal, you're chayav for Rishus HaYochid. And we have a brisa that says, Chachomim Potrim. In other words, Chachomim hold that if you throw into the Traskal, you're potter. The Traskal is not considered Rishus HaYochid. So it means we're not going to extend the Mechitzos of the Traskal all the way down to the ground. So to set up a mechitzos hamakifos es hayud, right, the four tfachim all the way up to ten tfachim, and basically in the case of the Svina, you have no objection because we accept the sheet of the Chachamim, and therefore we cannot validate these mechitzos of the Svina as if they go all the way down to the bottom of the boat. Because we don't have imaginary mechitzos. Now, Rabosai, I don't know. I was hoping to find some note on this. How could it be that, according to Rav Yosef, we reject the halacha of Godachis Mechitza? I mean, that's like all of a shas. That's like you know, the Aleph Beis of Mechitzos. The only thing I found here, I don't know if this helps, he says, Chachomim Sovrim. In other words, well, what about the Chachomim? I mean, do they reject Godachis Mechitzta? Is that what Rav Yosef is claiming? He says, Halach L'Moshe Misinai, Godachis, Lo nemra b'mechitza tluya. So he says that there are two dinim in Goda Achis, and basically two dinim in mechitzas. And he says the following, that if you have, just 1 second, so what would be the case? I know which is the negative, but what would be the positive? Just 1 second, give me a second here. I mean, everything here is based on a breakthrough of the Pnei Yoshua. This is really counterintuitive, but let's see if we can make some, at least define it. You know, I don't know if intuitively we can identify, but he's saying like this. There are two dinim in Goda Achis. One din is where you have a physical mechitza, but it doesn't reach the ground, and we need to extend it. So we'll call that the extension Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Goda Achis. Then you have another din of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Godachis, not in extending a mechitza that exists, but in creating a mechitza that doesn't exist. And herein lies the secret of the traskal of Chachamim. In the case of traskal, you have mechitzos, and the halacha mishnah of Gorachis allows you to extend those mechitzos. And in a moment, we'll explain why the Rabbanan have a problem with setting up Rosh Hashayachid in the traskal, because you're extending a mechitza. And then we have another, in a certain sense, more radical and far-reaching halacha Moshe Mishinai of God Ochis, where you don't have a mechitza at all. And that's called Pi Tikra Yored Visose. So imagine you have a roof, let's say, what do they call that thing? Just skips my mind. You know what I'm talking about? Like you have a garden, and then you know, what is that thing called?
A pergola?
No, yeah, a pergola is good, but
trellis.
What's it called?
Trellis. No,
you know what, if you've ever gone to visit like gardens, you know, really famous gardens in Europe, again, I'm just giving you, I mean, there are millions of cases, I don't have to give you that, but you go out to an area, and it, you know, you sit under a roof, and it's open on all sides, you know what I'm talking about, what's it called, okay, it'll come to me, anyway.
A gazebo,
yeah, okay, we'll call it a gazebo, excellent. So now we have something called Pi Tikra Yored Visosem. Because you have a roof, we're going to create a mechitza that takes you from the edge of the roof all the way down to the ground. In such a case, you're creating something that doesn't exist. Now, you and I would have said intuitively that that's a much more, you know, radical kind of godachis, and it should be, therefore, vulnerable to various invalidations, you know, to psulim. It'd be a lot easier, but here's the counterintuitive halach of Godochis. When you're creating a mechitza that doesn't exist, says the Pnei Yoshua, it is more powerful, so to speak, more effective halachically than extending a mechitza that exists. And my nafkamina, so this is a concept called Gideon Bokimbo. When you extend a mechitza through God Ochis, that the validation of that mechitza is conditional. It's vulnerable. It's got to be Ein Gedim Bokimbo. So let's say, for example, if we assume Gedim Bokimbo would be, let's say, less than 3 tvachim. I mean, we have to know. But so then, when you have this imaginary mechitza that comes from, I mean, you have a physical mechitza, but you extend it all the way to the bottom of the floor of the ground through God Achis, then we have to ask the question whether it's Gedim Bokimbo. So, for example, in the case of the Traskal, what we're going to have is, according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi, is Gedim Bokimbo. So let me read to you the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says the following: Gam Chachamim Sovrim Shaloch LeMoshe MiSinai Shamrinon God Achis Ela Lo Amrinon God Achis BeMechitza Tluya. When you have a mechitza that goes down but it doesn't reach the ground, then we're not going to apply the Loch LeMoshe MiSinai in that case. And why is that? What's the anti-force? Mishum Sheyesh b'kias ha-gediyim b'tachtis ha-mechitza v'him avatelis es ha-mechitza. So again, theoretically you have a mechitza through God Ochis, but you have to square off with the problem of gediyim bokimbo. And gediyim bokimbo on the bottom of this mechitza, which is open, mevatelis es ha-mechitza. Ella, so when do we say Aloch LeMoshe MiSinai go to Ochis? Hainu le'inyan adin shel pi tikra yored v'sosem. He gives you in brackets here a whole bunch of sources. Ulegabi pi tikra yori v'sosem ein omrim b'kias hagidia mevatelis es hamachitza v'dafka v'mechitza tluya, which again you have a physical partition, just doesn't go far enough down. The anu rotzim shamachitza tigdar ad lamata, in other words, the power or the function of the mechitza to surround and enclose an area should be powerful even all the way down to the ground, is then b'kias hagidiyim mevatel samachitza. Masha'en kein b'pi tikra she'en kan klal machitza. Language of the Pnei Yoshua. V'rak midin pi tikra yored v'sosim rotzim la'achshav akol kisosu. So the whole stima here of closing the area and closing it is all imaginary. It's all just a figment of our imagination. Is bazeh ein b'kias hagidim v'atel samachitza. Now again, you know, mechitza is a rich, rich topic. I don't know what percentage of Shas is dedicated to mechitza. I can tell you this, that half of Reb Chaim's chidushim are about mechitzos. So I'm wondering what Reb Chaim would say about this, what I consider breakthrough Pnei Yoshua. Again, we have to identify with the Pnei Yoshua, I would say commensurate, or we have to empathize, because the kasha is a big kasha over here. Rav Yosef is claiming that the Chachamim patter you up in the case of Traskal, and therefore he wants to just throw overboard, pardon the pun, the whole concept of God Achas Mechitza, thus can it Zion. It can't be, and he's not talking about one Tana, he's talking about the Chachamim. And therefore you throw something into the traskel from Rishus Sarabim, you're not chayiv according to Chachamim, because, poof, there's no God Achis Mechitza. How can you do away with God Achis Mechitza? It's a very basic rule or regulation in Mechitza that's derived Halacha Moshe Misinai. Says the Pnei Yoshua, no, we have to carve out the limitations and the scope of the Halacha Moshe Misinai, but don't throw it overboard. And the paradox is that if Ein Kan Mechitza Klal, in the case of P. Tikra Yored V'Sosem, with the whole enterprise of the Mechitza is imaginary, then we don't deal with physical, material reality of Gedeim Bokimbo. But when you're dealing with a real Mechitza, the problem is the Mechitza is not being successfully being makif the area because it doesn't reach the bottom, and you want to apply Godachis, then we're going to ask the question, is it Gideon Bokimbo? And the answer is yes, then it's Mevatelis Es HaMechitza. Amalei Abaye, Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and he says, V'at lo tizbara. You don't accept the principle of God Achis Mechitza. V'atanya, we have a braisa, Amud Birshus HaRabim Gavoa Sora V'rochav Arba. So you're talking not about a pole, you know, you're not talking about a kone. You're talking about an amud. Amud means a large, you know, I don't want to use the word pillar, but yeah, I guess you can call it a pillar, as opposed to a pole. I don't know if you could differentiate in English between a pole and a pillar. And it's 10 tvachim high, and 4 tvachim square in its width. V'ein be'ikro, in the bottom area, arba. In other words, this pillar gets narrower on the bottom. It's not a perfect rectangle. And v'yesh b'kotzer shalosh shlosha. So the part that's on the bottom of this pillar is only three tfachim wide. So then, v'zorak v'nochal gabov chayov. If he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, he throws something that lands on top of this pillar, he's chayav, and nobody disagrees with this. This is a braisa stamis, and it reflects the sheet of the chachamim, so that even though the bottom part of this amud, as we get close to the karka, is only 3 tefachim wide, nevertheless it still retains the status of a reshus hayachid, alma, we must conclude, what principle underlies this brisa? Go to achis mechitza, that the top mechitzos, which have a rochav of four tefachim, now move down to the bottom, and we extend those mechitzos through the principle of go to achis mechitza, and hachinami, we should apply the same thing in the case of the boat, right? The boat doesn't, it has mechitzos, has tefanos, but at some point towards the bottom, there's no arba tefachim. It's exactly like this case of an amud b'shusarab, the ein b'ikro arba tefachim. And we should apply therefore the principle of god achis mechitzta, which in effect brings us back to Rav Nachman's kasha. So we had Rav Nachman's kasha, which he objected to Rav Huna. In the case of the Sfina, Rav Huna said that you can't carry four amos into the Sfina because it gets narrow on the bottom. And we had Rav Nachman's objection from the rule of Godachis Mechitzta, which he proved from Rav Yossi's Brisa of Traskal. Rav Yosef says to Rav Nachman, what are you asking from Rav Yossi? The Chacham never accepted Rav Yossi in the case of Traskal. And Abai now is invoking a Brisa, which clearly applies the principle of Godachis Mechitzta and resurrects the kasha of Rav Nachman, because it's exactly the same as the Sfina of Rav Huna. And how could Rav Huna say in the case of the Sfina, because it gets narrow on the bottom, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, and he doesn't want to apply the principle of Godachis, when we have a Brisa that says explicitly, in exactly the same case, I mean, not a Sfina, but an Amud, which gets narrow on the bottom, it's less than four Tvachim wide, and Azorek V'nochal Gabov is Chayav. Alma, we see that Godachis Mechitzta. So basically, Rabosai, what we have here in Abaye is an upslug to Rav Yosef's upslug of Rav Nachman's upslug. Now, if you follow that, you're pretty good. But really what it means is we're back to Rav Nachman's kasha against Rav Huna. Why does Rav Huna say in these small boats that it's not a Rishus HaYochid because it gets narrow on the bottom? Who cares if it gets narrow on the bottom? We have already mechitzos on top, and once we have mechitzos on top, we apply the principle of Godachis Mechitzta, and therefore the Sfina, despite it's narrow on the bottom, is a Rishus HaYochid. We don't have to worry about carrying four avos inside the Sfina. And if you'll ask me the kasha of Rav Yosef, or what do we have the price of Traskal, and the Chacham seem to reject Godachis Mechitzta in that case, I'm going to quote to you, says Abaye, another Brisa, where clearly we're going to apply the principle of Godachis Mechitza, and if that be the case in the Sfina of Rav Huna, there should be a bona fide Rishus HaYochid, and there should be no problem carrying it 4 hours. So let's just see where we're up to. And we're up to my area here on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. Now, we mentioned in the Pnei Yoshua that Godachis Mechitza, in a case of extending a Mechitza Kayemes, is a problem, can be undermined and torpedoed by Gedim Bokimba. What we failed to mention was, where does the Pnei Yoshua get that from? And the answer is, he gets it from the very next line here in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, my iria hasam, havile Mechitza shagedoyim Bokimba. Hacha, havile Mechitza she'en agedoyim Bokimba. And we're going to say Godachis Mechitzta because there's no Gedim Bokimba. And V'chein bi Omud Rochav Arba La Arba Arba, the case that we had of the pillar that's 4x4 Tfachim, and Chelko Somach Lekarka is Tsar, it gets narrow as we go towards the Karka, Omrim Godachis Mechitzta, Kevan Shamechitzos Enon Boltos, Kolkach Michutz La Omud, V'ein HaGedim Ain derech hagdim l'schachik because of alavar tachas chelko harachav. So there's no gdim bokimbo, and that's when we can apply the principle of go to achis, and that would support the premise and the principle of the Pnei Yoshua. So we are here towards the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph Mitzvah Hashem. We'll try to get up to Kuf Aleph Amid Beis tomorrow.